Hey, Dylan Kelly here, host of the Wave Break podcast. Excited to get into this episode, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsor. This episode of the Wave Break podcast is brought to you by Klaviyo, the growth marketing platform most recommended by other business leaders. Listen, in uncertain times, you need to be supporting your community and growing relationships with your customers. It's going to be appreciated. It's going to be remembered. It's going to be shared. And in good times and bad, this type of communication that's open and empathetic with your customers is key. This is a key theme that we've been talking about at Wavebreak. I've been preaching this on the podcast. And when you're communicating with your customers in this way, the best way to do this is with email. It is and always will be one of the best channels for delivering communication like this. And what I love about Klaviyo is that email is one of its core offerings. And their personalization that you can do inside Klaviyo is just, it can't be beat. And when you leverage that personalization driven by a 360 degree view of the customer, these emails are going to feel more relevant and they're going to drive even stronger relationships. And Klaviyo gets it. They're not just, you know, some company. They understand how challenging it is right now for every entrepreneur. You know, it was hard to get your business off the ground, and navigating these times is even harder. And if you're feeling overwhelmed with growing your business, know that you're not alone. Klaviyo is here to help you build relationships across any distance for your brand and create memorable and meaningful email marketing moments that last a lifetime. And that's how you build a successful e-commerce brand. And this is why I love Klaviyo so much, because they're on the same page with me and Wavebreak. Is like, we're not just about making more revenue. That's great. But what this is really about is an opportunity to create an amazing community with your customers. And the best way to do it is with email. And if you're not on Klaviyo, you gotta get on Klaviyo. Visit klaviyo.com to schedule a free trial. That's Klaviyo.com. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Wavebreak podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Kelly, founder and CEO of Wavebreak. This is a podcast for people who want to build and scale a large and successful e-commerce business that lasts. If you're new here, my company, Wavebreak, we were one of the first agencies focused exclusively on email and SMS marketing for e-commerce brands, founded in 2016. Now more than ever, retention and focusing on your customers through channels like email and SMS is vital to your business. If you want to learn more about what we do and how we can go and take your email to the next level while also taking it off your plate, you can learn more about what we do at wavebreak.com. On average, we're driving an 11 to 20% increase in top line revenue for our clients who already have established email programs. There's a lot of revenue already inside of your business. You probably don't have time to get it out yourself. You probably know it's in there, but you need the strategy and the analytics and the data-backed process and our proven methodology, plus our world-class creative team of designers and copywriters to really make a best-in-class program. If you want to learn more about that, you can schedule a call with me and my team at wavebreak.com. So, really excited for this episode today. Today, I'm chatting with Josh Pierce, co-founder of a company called Jackson. That's Jackson with two X's. Really great guy. We have a very similar story, similar timeline. But long story short, they did 8 figures last year, and they shipped most of the orders out of an apartment in Hollywood. Yeah, out of an apartment in Hollywood. It's a crazy interview. We talk about branding, we talk about marketing, we talk about the pandemic and how it affected their business and how they were still able to have a record year, plus their focus on 2021 and beyond. So it's a really exciting interview. It was super fun to do. So without further ado, let's jump right into it. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Josh.
Oh man, thank you so much. It's so exciting to actually do this. You just put out such engaging content, get to talk to so many cool people, and have built such a brand around yourself that I have come to respect and learn a lot from, man. So the feeling is mutual. I'm hyped.
Awesome. Me too, man. Me too. Well, let's dive in. So we were talking before, like, you previously, before Jackson, you tried starting a shampoo brand, but like beyond that, like, what's your background? Like, how'd you get to Jackson? And I guess actually even before that, like, Jackson, for the people who don't know, like, what's Jackson and what are you guys about? And then we can go in the background.
Okay, got you. Yeah. So Jackson, well, we're spending every single day trying to make sure that we're the most trusted brand for people to come and get legitimate quality jewelry at any time from anywhere in the world. So that's what we're trying to be. We're not trying to be the coolest or, you know, the absolute most luxurious or, you know, the most urban. We're trying to be the most trusted place where people know that they're going to come and get something amazing that's going to make them, you know, feel leveled up, feel good about the quality and their style.
That's awesome. And then how'd you get into this? Like, have you always been into jewelry? I know you started that shampoo company before.
Right.
What's your background?
Yeah. So, my background, I'm a California kid. I went to Fullerton for college down here in California. It sounds like you're familiar with the area. I actually fell in love with branding and marketing through Red Bull. I ended up becoming the sports marketing intern with the president over at their HQ after college. And then I got a marketing manager job over in New York City for a little bit super quickly. So that's kind of my background and how I got in the world of brands and marketing and telling stories. And then basically, I'll put it this way. I remember being over in Manhattan and thinking, gosh, dang, like I'm pretty competitive, to be transparent with you. And I remember thinking, I think I'm trying harder. I'm going for it. I'm pushing as hard as I possibly can. And I have people that are, you know, on paper have the same marketing manager title as I do. And I was kind of getting the same paycheck as them. That was the honest truth, you know, and I like the job. I like the people, but I was like, dang it. I feel like, you know, life's short. I want to get more output for my input. And I was never the kind of guy that's like, I want to be a freaking billionaire. You know, I need that. I just wanted to feel like I was getting output for input. So I actually left the company, came back to California with just this like drive. It was pretty aimless at the moment, but I was like, I need to be an entrepreneur. I need to start something and make an impact. And I kind of just had that drive, right? So when I come back, you're right. I had started a shampoo company because I came across an article about Native deodorant. Kudos to them. They came out of nowhere, crushed it with an awesome product, sold to Unilever, I believe, like you had said earlier. And I was like, okay, you know, I want to shake up the shampoo game. So ended up being that myself and my credit card couldn't really get that done in the way that I had wanted to. But, you know, in that little explosion of a business, I learned so much. I was in a pretty dark time, to be honest with you. I don't even think I've told this story, but I spent 2 weeks sleeping in my car because I was so embarrassed to go back to my parents' house because I'd blown all my money, literally blown every single dollar trying to do that.
Oh man.
Yeah. So I remember sleeping in the back. I had a 2016 Jeep Cherokee. I slept in the back by my buddy's house by the beach because I did not want to go home and say I couldn't pay for rent. Long story short, during that time, destiny comes along and my buddy from college, Josh Diemer, who I had always kind of held as a renowned like entrepreneur, he always had this drive with always creating things while we were in college. He had started an app after college, left that. It was a small app. And he knew that I had come back from New York City. And he hit me up and he said, hey, I want to do e-commerce. This is the way to go right here. And I was thinking the same thing. And he had mentioned, so here's the cool story. He was getting married. His wife was like, I want to get him a gold necklace. And long story short, she says she had a problem finding like quality jewelry for men. She was like, well, I could either go on, you know, not to name drop, but I could either go on like huge retailer mall site and get like a chain that was, you know, probably way overpriced. Or if I'm looking online, I found like some kind of heavier urban, or they call it like some iced out brands, you know, that she didn't feel like really resonated with him. So his entrepreneurial mind is like, oh gosh, there's probably a gap here. We meet up in Irvine, California, which you're probably familiar with, at a Starbucks, start looking at the Google trends for men's chains, men's gold necklaces, those kinds of things. And we're sitting there thinking, okay, you know, this is a market gap. Like we can create a cool brand in here. And that's kind of how we got it started. I'll stop there.
Dude, that's awesome. That's so funny because like I did the exact same thing. I was in, except I was in San Francisco working in sales and I'm like sending all these cold emails every day. And I'm like, this mm-hmm. sucks. Like I'm busting my butt to build somebody else's business. I was like, I might as well do this for myself. And then the same mm-hmm. exact thing, dude, like in defeat, it's like move back in with the parents to grind it out. Dude, I got physically ill 3 times that first year just because of like stress.
It's real.
That's so funny that we have like the exact same story on that. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, and then the Starbucks, dude, that's awesome. Yeah. And like jumping forward a little bit to like now, just so people get an idea, like, is there somehow like you can share like the size of the company, like how many products sold, revenue, team members, or just like some, so people can kind of get a feel of like how far you guys have come since then?
Yeah. Well, essentially Josh and I, who's my business partner, we were running it out of downtown LA. We were doing everything from, you know, sprinting through the jewelry district, fulfilling orders, because in downtown LA, you can run everywhere. So we're getting a ton of cardio going into the jewelry district, running down to the local USPS, coming back up, taking photos on the roof. And all the while, you know, we had an app on our phone where we could text customers. So like we were talking about kind of prior to the call, it was all consuming and in a good way. You know, I think when you really wrap yourself up in something, you see your own, you know, human potential of what you can build and how exponentially you can move. And we just lived it, man. We lived it. And we were texting customers all day. We were running, packing orders, doing the content, building the site, reading articles, doing podcasts. Him and I would sit there together with headphones on and listen to the same podcast. Literally, like, you know, we were taking classes together more seriously than I took any college class. So, you know, there's something, I feel like the takeaways there are, you know, you find the right person or you find the right people that are dedicated with you, and you accept that the time is just going to be, it's going to be fun, it's going to be hard, then you're going to go somewhere good. You know what I mean? There's, by loose definition, you're going to a good place. Not to digress and to get closer to your question, we now have a strong team of 10 people. We act like a family right now. We're so blessed, like, with everybody that's on the team. We have one common goal. We have a really fun time doing it. It's so cool. We have the ability. We do phone calls where people are calling into Jackson every day, just kind of asking questions, asking about their order status, those kinds of things. And we take those phone calls. And I'll tell you right now, every once in a blue moon, it might be me or myself that – or me or Josh that picks up a phone call, just because we love to have that touch point all the way from the top down. We're lucky to be doing a lot of orders every day. Don't want to throw out too many numbers. We were lucky to do 7 figures last year. We're aiming for really big numbers this year too. I apologize. That was 8 figures last year. It was 7 figures in 2019. So we're going big 2021, man. We're stoked.
Huge growth. Love it, man. Yeah. And like, what was that like in the beginning? So like, you had a marketing background, your partner, Josh, is, you know, entrepreneurial. Like, did you guys previously know, like, how did you even go from like, okay, we want these products, you're running around the Diamond District. Like, were you like fulfilling these orders, like from US shops at first, or like, where do you get your inventory? Like, how did you figure out like where to source this stuff? Cause I know like there's a lot of like in your space, there's a lot of like junk from China with like drop shippers and things.
Exactly.
Like, where do you even go from like that cappuccino to like actually having inventory to sell?
That's a great question. That's like more in the weeds there for sure. And that's more fun to answer. But we had the same questions you had, and we were like, okay, what's the difference in quality here? And I should preface this with the difference maker for us at Jackson is that we've always, our products have always been sterling silver and solid gold straight from Italy. So just like you said, yeah, there are some products that are made in China, and, you know, China makes phenomenal products too. They have the capability to do 95 sterling silver. They have the capability to do solid gold. But we quickly learned that, you know, Italian jewelry, it's historical. It's in their blood. The quality, you can actually feel it on your freaking fingertips. So we learned that quickly just by literally walking around for days, going into all kinds of different stores and meeting all kinds of different people. I'm talking like, you know, I'm 25% Armenian. So, and I think I probably met like 80 Armenians within the span of like 2 weeks in downtown LA. So it was kind of full circle in terms of like my lineage, but also like, that's just awesome. Really, really, really interesting times, man. But we had one goal, right? And we were like, hey, you know, the way we want to make a splash is by not going the cheap route, not going the stainless steel route. Like, that's the same stuff that your kitchen sink is made out of. We wanted to go the real route, the precious metal route. And soon enough, we found somebody, and quickly we found, you know, where that was being supplied. And then we got into the world of the Italians, and that's a whole nother story, man. The Italians are interesting to work with, to say the least. They crush it, but yeah, we've had an amazing relationship build with some people over there, and we've been lucky enough to go over there a couple of times, and gosh, man, it's been really fun. It's been a lot of trust overseas, and we've built some great friendships along the way.
Oh, that's awesome. And like sourcing from Italy, like, is that more expensive than China, or like, what does that look like?
100%.
Okay. So are you priced more than your competition, or how's that typically shake out?
Well, what's funny is, and I'm kind of a lifer. I let ethics really rule my life, and I can't sleep at night. I won't be able to do something if it makes me not feel well in my like soul or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So our products are actually priced similarly to a lot of other brands on the internet right now that sell stainless steel. And we just kind of pushed through the tunnel there, believing that, hey, this was the right thing to do. You're right in that we do incur a lot higher costs getting it from Italy in a multitude of different ways. Number one being that it's sterling silver. It's a commodity. So we're paying a higher premium, and we're also allowing our customers to get it at what I believe is the most fair price right now. Absolutely. So you could do a quick dive and search around the internet, and you'll see, you know, let's say we're selling a chain for $150 at sterling silver. You could see another company selling one for $150 and it's stainless steel. And, you know, I don't have to give you the price break between the two types of materials. That's a quick Google search, and you'll realize kind of like what we've dedicated ourselves in giving our customers the opportunity to get at fair value.
Yeah, that's awesome. And like, what was that like during like last year, 2020, during like the height of the pandemic? You're sourcing from Italy. We're seeing videos of people like singing out the balconies. Like, they're not fulfilling your product. What was going on there?
Oh, man. Yeah. Gosh, man, I'll tell you through this whole process. I think, you know, again, kind of a karma guy. Our intentions, I can speak on the behalf of our whole team that our intentions have always been good. And we've always been just trying to do the right thing and trying to do right. We've tried to be a good company to work with. And the reason I say that is because, you know, we had a lot of good energy on our side in 2020, although it was a difficult year in a lot of different ways. But we were able to, you know, have Italy get us the product that we needed to succeed in some crazy ways, man. I'll be honest with you. They really came through for us. And I think that's part of like building a working relationship with who's got your product and what you're doing with your product. But yeah, I mean, the pandemic hit us really hard. We had a really great office set up in downtown Los Angeles, and that quickly became a couple U-Haul trips to an apartment, and it changed everything for us to where, you know, let's say we're getting packaging, or we're getting, you know, who knows, all kinds of different boxes or packaging or marketing materials. Imagine semi trucks pulling up, you know, twice a week, every single time, so pissed off because they're realizing that they're delivering to a third story apartment in downtown LA and not like a business warehouse, because that's what we had to do to keep our business going during the pandemic. So,
oh my goodness,
it was hilarious, man. We'd go down into the lobby of the apartment complex. We'd run outside, let them know, yep, this is our business. Like, we got to get, you know, these two pallets into this bedroom.
Wait, so you shipped everything out of the apartment during the pandemic?
Yes. That's exactly what we had to do.
Eight figures of revenue through an apartment?
Yes, sir.
whatever it takes.
Exactly. Whatever it takes. I literally thought
Dude,
about
that's awesome.
getting that tattooed like on my back while we were doing that. That's funny that you said that. But and then we had the ability to move in July down here to Orange County, California, where we now have a really dialed warehouse and a really dialed team and a really dialed process and a whole new, you know, even WMS system, warehouse management system. So everything is rock and roll, but you're right on the money. It was whatever it takes through the pandemic, and whatever it takes is exactly what we did, man.
Yeah.
Like, it was crazy times.
Yeah. Like in Italy, like, did you get cut off for a few months? Or, cause I know a lot of brands are impacted cause they're coming from China and they had Chinese New Year stacked up against coronavirus. And so they had trouble getting inventory to the States. Like, did you guys experience similar with Italy or what was that like?
We absolutely did. And, we had heard rumors. Josh and I were actually really on top of this, and I gotta give ourselves a little bit of credit, myself and Josh, obviously as well. We heard the rumors quickly, you know, like, hey, you know, they might shut this down. They might do this. They might do that. And we communicated that. And we said, we had let Italy know, hey, pump this out. Like, this is real. This could happen. Like, you got to trust us on this. Like, you know, we've had this relationship for such a long time. Like, you guys got to pump this out and come through for us right here. And we got to hold on tight. And sure enough, they did. They heard us. They understood us. We've been working with them for, you know, a long enough time for them to take a little bit of a risk on us, you know, and get us excess product. You know, I think that was obviously send my energy, you know, in the way of the people that haven't had a great year, but things really worked out for us, man. I look back now and I think, you know, getting them to take that risk with us, it just built our relationship even more because they were like, you know what, man, these guys gambled. And they were right. And we were able to survive and thrive through that time. So you're right. It was difficult and we gambled and they came through for us. It was really, really, really great.
Let's take a quick break and get a word from our sponsor. Listen, it's getting more expensive to drive profitable traffic to your website every month, every year. You need to do everything you can to maximize conversions. That's why I love and use today's sponsor, JustUno. They're the best tool in the game for conversion rate optimization. Two things I really love about them right now. I mean, they're, first of all, they're a really great company, really great team. You know, one of the best to work with. But two features I love of JustUno. Number one, they have these AI powered upsells that you can take and put anywhere in your store that has HTML. So you can put them in the checkout, you can put them in your cart, you can put them on the product page. This is their JustUno Plus product. And what's great about that, it has this AI in it that tracks buyer behavior and puts recommendations that people are actually going to buy. So you get more conversions and you get higher average order value. And it's just going to help your business scale a lot easier. And it's really easy to set up because you also get a strategist with it. And the JustUno Plus strategist, they know exactly what's working and how the best brands are leveraging JustUno. And they can take that insight and apply it to your brand with zero learning curve and help you drive more conversions using their platform on your website. The second thing I really love about JustUno is their advanced list growth tools and specifically how you can segment based on traffic and a ton of other different metrics so you can really maximize list growth as well as conversions using on-site pop-ups and different promotions that they have. And all of this works extremely well. JustUno customers see an average of 135% lift in revenue during their first year using the platform. And what's awesome about it is it also links to Klaviyo, PostScript, and all of the other software that you use. So you can close the loop, link everything together. Everything's personalized. Everything's automated. It's all nice and flows and connected. And it drives great results. So if you want to learn more about JustUno Plus and snag a sweet discount because you're a listener of this podcast, all you got to do is go to justuno.com/wavebreak. Link is down in the show notes below. It's justuno.com/wavebreak. Sign up for a free trial and get 20% off your first year by using code wavebreak. Like I said, it's down in the show notes below. Go check them out. Let's get back into this episode.
That's awesome. I love that story. I love too how like in the beginning, like, yeah, we did eight figures last year. And then it's like, yeah, we were shipping all the orders out of an apartment. Like, dude, that's great.
Oh man. We have some pictures of us like with, you know, black gloves on, black hoodies and black masks. And we just look like, we look like bad news, bro. But it was good times. Tons of Chipotle through Uber Eats.
Oh,
you know how,
yes.
You know how it is.
Dude. Yes. We actually have. Yeah. Oh my goodness. I probably ate Chipotle like every day through all that.
yeah.
I mean, still do. I've been trying to, I probably would send their stocks like diving if I stopped eating it. but that's awesome, man. Like,
yeah.
Kind of switching directions a little bit now to the marketing side. Like, that's something you guys have done really well from the beginning. Like, you're, like we kind of talked about in the beginning, like you're in a competitive market. There's lots of drop shippers, a lot of people. Like you got the, you know, the larger brands that sell for, you know, higher ticket prices in like, I guess you call them like the online malls now. Cause like, I guess the real malls are kind of closed. And then you've got the drop shippers who are, you know, capitalizing on those trends. And so like in such a competitive market with a product that's, you know, different, like, what are some of the ways you communicate that? I know you guys have a really good, like, eye for design, like, not just in your product, but with all your marketing and things you do. But, like, how are you guys thinking about marketing, you know, from that perspective?
Yeah, thank you. Well, first, I appreciate that. We do put a lot of time and effort into that. And I kind of come back to, I had let you know that, you know, our goal was to be a trusted brand, right? And I think that Josh and I, we both love stuff that's cool per se, right? Like I loved Red Bull. I worked for Red Bull and I obviously thought Red Bull was really cool and cool, subjective as it may be, it just means inspiring. And we both wanted to bring that to the table for Jackson as a brand. We wanted it to be inspiring. We wanted it to be like, hey, you know, step up your game, be a gentleman, keep clean, those kinds of things. At first when it was fully men's jewelry. So that was one issue we were trying to solve, right? We want to be trustworthy. We want people to feel comfortable buying jewelry online. We know that's tough. With that being said, the other issue is, you know, when you're buying something like jewelry, what we needed to solve was, you know, hey, this is what it looks like. This is what it's made of. This is why it's better. And in terms of marketing, we quickly went into the realm of, hey, we need to get somebody that we trust to communicate this to our customers. So early on, one of our best ads was our buddy Brandon, who has been with the brand since the beginning. It was him explaining, hey, you know, this is Brandon with Jackson. We're offering, you know, real Italian solid gold and sterling silver jewelry straight from Italy. I think, you know, at the time in the ad, he literally says, you know, hey, we're dealing with all the customs and the inbound duties and taxes and quality control, and we're getting this into your guys' hands. You know, it's a big deal. We take a lot of risk and we take a lot of pride in the product that we're delivering. So that actually, you know, being trustworthy and explaining and showcasing the jewelry were our two goals. And that's what we, you know, pushed heavily into our marketing. So, you know, I think a lot of people have value propositions and they want to display how it works and stuff like that. Ours was really, really trust-based. We knew that was going to be our marketing key, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. And I love that with the video. What year is that? Like 2017?
I believe that was 2017. Yeah, if not early 2018. We got Brandon up on the roof in downtown LA and we shot it a couple times. We were like, yeah, we really got to get this. We believed it though. You know, we were mm-hmm. like, we really got to get this point across because we have something really good here. And, you know, there's other jewelry companies out there, but we need to say, you know, this isn't stainless steel. This is quality product and we're going to go for it and try and get in your hands so that you're getting the right thing. But I probably have that video somewhere archived somewhere deep.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah. And like, have you guys just like kept rolling with that same messaging and like just evolved it over time?
Man, we absolutely have. Yeah. If you check out our ads today, we have a couple of different people who have grown with the brand and understand it. And, you know, I would say just from as a takeaway from our marketing successes, having maybe not a familiar face, but, you know, a warm, welcoming personality explain, you know, the benefit and the hard work and what you're providing to your customer. You can't really go wrong with that. You know, I mean, time and time again, we've generated an ad that, oh, it's got slow-mo and it's got speed ramping and it's got all the right sounds and it's edited like, you know, really, really great. And you'll have the ad where it's just someone saying, hey, this is us. This is what we got. And this is why you should trust us. It crushes that other ad. And I actually wonder, I'd come back to you and would you agree in what you've seen from, you know, an email marketing perspective? I know prior to email marketing, you guys did landing pages. So I'd wonder if some of the more successful landing pages had, you know, testimonial-esque content on them.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, like on the email side, it's like everything that's like not promotional does like really well right now. So like
yeah.
Content stuff, like, dude, we'll send out like a blog post and it'll do like as much as like a big sale, which is like crazy. Yeah. 'Cause like people love buying, but they hate being sold. And it's just like,
exactly.
They hate being marketed to. So it's like, just tell it to them straight. Like, consumers are so smart now. Like, they know marketing, they know advertising.
Yes.
And it's the same with email. Like, it's like thinking about, and that's what makes us so successful with our clients too, is like, we think about why people buy and like why they don't. And we build around that instead of like tactics. Mm-hmm. Like you're talking about like, oh, awesome slow ramp and sound effect and all that's like, that's great. But like, do people care about that? And it's like, the answer is like, not always. You know, and like copying the big brands. Like, I mean, I always like companies like Nike, and like, it's awesome how big they are and everything. But like, dude, you give me Nike's Facebook ad account, like I could probably do some damage with it. Cause they have such a strong brand already.
Oh, I'm sure you could. Yeah. I think we'd all love to crack our fingers and take a shot at that one, huh?
Yeah, that'd for be sure. Awesome. But yeah, man, it's so true. Like, and like the authentic stuff really shines through. I mean, especially nowadays, anybody can start an e-commerce brand. And then, you know, on the flip side too, like, I love what you guys are doing, like really building the brand and like having a consistent message that you guys are communicating to the marketplace. I think that's super important, especially like as more and more competition from like bigger retailers is going to be coming into the mix this year and next year. Like, that's really what the smaller brands have to differentiate and like really solidify their place inside the marketplace. So I think that's awesome how you guys are doing that as well.
I totally agree. Yeah. Yeah. I would say that, just to kind of skip to another tone, I think that, like, you're right. It's getting more competitive. People are coming online. Online is awesome. I think it's the way to go. And what we're doing this year is we are doubling down on our customers. And this is probably something that you're obviously really, really all about.
Music to my ears already.
Email marketing. Yeah, exactly. But you know, whether that be, you know, 24/7 phone call support. We have people that are always ready to chat online on a live chat. We have email. We're doubling down into our social media and being responsive. And, you know, I think that the differentiator when you get to scale and when you do, say, a cool 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 figures in revenue, when you're scaling up, I think that you can never lose sight or lose touch of your customer base and just being there for these people that are giving you their time, that are coming to your store online, they're communicating with you, they're engaging with you. And I think that's where the true dividends are going to be paid, right? It's doubling down back into your people and anyone that's engaging with you. So that's kind of I would say that's going to take the cake for us in 2021. We're putting so much more energy into customer service and our customers.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, like, that's kind of, yeah, like literally exactly what I believe in. Like, so many brands, like, and all of us really, like, we've been, even like me with the landing pages in the beginning, like, so focused on the acquisition side and like growing revenue that like we forget about our customers, which like we worked hard, so hard to acquire. And now with the changes in the marketplace, with, you know, Facebook getting more expensive, paid social in general getting more competitive, iOS 14, all the other different privacy changes that are rolling out this year on Facebook and Google, it's just like, oh shoot, it's like, we really got to strengthen these relationships. You know, and it's really going to help everyone's bottom line. Like, it's hard to be super profitable when you're just running all your revenue through Facebook ads, you know, to cold traffic or whatever. But you know, when you double down on your customers, that's really where the actual money is made. So that's awesome that you guys are focusing on that.
100%. Yeah, you're totally right. And I think that's what maybe gave us the cutting edge at the beginning too, was the fact that even our first customers, we were texting them. I was texting them from my phone. We were picking up phone calls in the early days. And I think that's what gave us the edge. And I think that's what's going to get us to the finish line.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. And like, outside of like retention in your customer base, like, what else are you guys looking at for marketing this year? I know you guys do a lot with influencers. You're pretty heavy on paid social typically. Like, are you still doubling down on those channels? Or like, what does that look like for you on the other side of the business this year, like acquisition-wise?
Yeah, acquisition-wise. Yeah, we're moving to international. So we're actually running ads worldwide. We're seeing a lot of success. And we've also, you know, launched women's. So as opposed to diving into a ton of new hyper-specific tactics per se, like, we are testing landing pages. I think that's a really cool one to be doing, right? Is like, hey, are you running them from an ad to a product page? Are you running them from an ad to a landing page? Are you running them from an ad to a blog? Or what are the different techniques you're doing in terms of the ad funnel itself? But for us, we're trying to generate content for the different audiences that we have now. We're not trying to get too crafty with our buying process per se, but rather speaking to people in different countries, speaking to people of different ethnicities, of different backgrounds, speaking to women, which, you know, obviously all of us guys at the office struggle with. I'm just playing. But marketing to women for women's jewelry. So that's a whole new thing for us, right? So we've got a good acquisition plan, and now it's just speaking to different people with that plan.
Yeah, that's, I love the way you're looking at it too. And like, I think that's a key, we're getting, like, this podcast is being recorded when you guys are kind of like at a key phase right now too. Like, you're shifting from the tactics to the strategy, and it's like a much, much bigger, it's just like you're playing a new game. Like, it's a bigger game, and it's like really pulling levers instead of just like pressing buttons, which is really exciting.
Exactly. Yeah, you're totally right.
We'll have to recap it in a year from now and like see how the rollout went and everything.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, let's do it. Well, cool, man. Like, as we start to wrap up here, like, product wise mm-hmm. like, are you guys, like, you mentioned you're rolling out women's, like, how has that played a factor in your growth, not just launching women's, but like launching new products? Are you mostly focused on, like, you know, a few key products, or are you always like launching new products to grow? I know a lot of brands I interview on the podcast do that to get to eight figures and keep growing beyond. They do a lot of launches. You have these women's lines coming out. Like, is that something you guys think about as well? Or how do you think about the product side of the business?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question, man. And these have all been really great questions that have got me thinking new ideas and stuff too. But yeah, that's a good one. So for us, it's not easier to run a business with a ton of SKUs, right? To have a 247 different items that you're trying to build data on and sell and push. And at the same time, you want to be able to offer, you know, a bunch of different cool options for the customers that are coming and shopping with you. So for us, yeah, you're right. That's a great question. We've actually begun to try to slim down our SKUs and make it a little more simple, because people are typically looking for a certain style or a certain look. So what we're trying to do is offer people different options, like a Cuban link or a Franco chain or a rope chain, and maybe not give them, you know, the 16 inch, the 18 inch, the 20 inch, the 22 inch, the 24 inch, the 26 inch, the 2 millimeter, 3 millimeter, 4 millimeter, 5 millimeter, those kinds of things. So we are focusing on gathering, slimming down, pushing some that we just know are, hey, you're going to be happy with this. We know that this is a great look, and you can't go wrong with it. And we are planning on doing some specific product highlight launches. I think that's a great way to go. That's something that our team at Jackson, we look at Cuts Clothing, and I think it's captained by Stephen Borelli over there. They do such a phenomenal job of this Friday projects, right? Where they have such a great momentum moving. I'm sure internally that's so like energy sparking. It's like, hey guys, every week we're doing something. And that's a tactic that we want to take and implement into our business. My buddies over at Truff Hot Sauce, they have the Instagram sauce. I'm sure you've seen it. They absolutely crush it too. And they do a great job of pushing one SKU at a time, right? I mean, they've totally disrupted the game with a single bottle of hot sauce. Like, it's godly marketing. And we take a lot of inspiration from them and how they utilize like their one SKU and how they use that one product in a lot of different ways. So we have a couple different inspirational people that are going to help us push specific products. I think you're right. That's a great way to go, is to highlight and let people know, hey, this is why this certain chain is awesome. This is why this certain ring is amazing, and how we've taken pride in crafting it ourselves and yada, yada. So yeah, that was a little long-winded answer, but yeah, we're going to be doing some product drops.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah, loving the Friday drops from Cuts. And if you guys haven't listened to that episode on the podcast with Steven, it's a really good one. So I'll be sure to link that up down the show notes below. I definitely see the inspo and what you guys do, and kind of like the intersection of, you know, everything. You guys seem like you have similar values as a brand, and then also like similar aesthetics too, which is really cool.
Cool. Yeah.
That's awesome. And like, yeah, just like wrapping up here. Just curious, like, where does the name Jackson come from? So it's Josh and Josh are the founders. Who's Jackson? And like, where's the name come from?
Yeah, I think the initial concept, right, was to, you know, Josh and I were in agreement, and his family members actually at the time, we were all in agreement that having a name kind of just gave you this, you know, connection to something. It made you feel like it was an entity, like okay, for instance, you just asked me who is Jackson, right? And that's exactly the question that we kind of want to pull from people, because Jackson to us is just this entity that's striving to be a better you, is striving to surround yourself with people that push you towards your dreams, and being around people that are following their dreams and pushing you further, right? So Jackson, if it was a person, it would be summed up in that way. And we kind of, how we got there actually is we went through a couple different names. We like the idea of Calvin Klein or you know, name brands like that, where you kind of are like, who is that? Like, I could be that. And at first we were thinking something like James Taylor. Then we thought of the name Jackson. And then we thought, you know, give it a little different edge with two X's, and then had the word mark and the logo made. So that's how we got there. We thought for the brand that we were going to make, we thought that it'd be great to go in the direction of a name.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. I love it. It's such a clean name, and it's cool too, because like you didn't box yourself in with it at all, which I know like a lot of brands do early on, you know, like Wallet Mart or something. And it's like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Then it's like, you want to expand categories and like,
sure.
Yeah. It's just exactly. A lot more difficult. Yeah. Exactly. That's a great name. Awesome. Learning a story behind it. Well, cool, man. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on. It's been super fun chatting, learning more about your story, what you guys have been up to, and what you're thinking about in 2021. For listeners, where can they go to learn more about you, learn more about Jackson, and just stay in touch with you guys?
I have a Facebook somewhere, but yeah, I think I'm open to emails. You can shoot me an email at jp@jackson.com. And then, yeah, if you want to learn more about the brand, we have a pretty dialed FAQ page, and we have some organic articles out there too, where if you wanted to get third party opinions on us, but yeah, hopefully we're easy to find. We've been trying to push hard on being found organically. So type us in, it's JAXXON, and yeah.
Love it, man. Jackson with two X's. Josh, thanks so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. This was really, really cool. And I feel honored to be on your show. You're absolutely crushing it, man.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Now, listener, before I sign off, stop me if this sounds familiar. Your email marketing is stuck. You feel like you could be doing email better. You're not generating enough email revenue, and you feel like you're leaving money on the table. But you don't have the time to figure email out yourself or do it on your own because you have a business to run. Imagine this. Imagine not having to worry about leaving money on the table with your email marketing. Imagine not having to figure out what to send, when to send it, how many emails should look, what automation you need, what segments you need, how often you should be contacting your email list, or just worrying about sending the next email. You don't have to worry about any of that. Imagine having peace of mind knowing that your email marketing is generating sales in good hands. At Wavebreak, we help Shopify stores maximize their email marketing revenue. That's it. We don't do anything else. And we've created a system called the Wavebreak Method that, number one, makes you less dependent on Facebook or other marketing channels. So let's say something bad happens. Facebook says, see you later, Shopify store, and they just completely kill your ad traffic overnight. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress because you're good to go because you have a cushion of email revenue. You don't have to worry about how or what your wife is going to do or if you're going to be able to make rent or if you're going to be able to pay people because you have this cushion of email revenue to rely on. Number two, the second thing this does is huge, and it's how stores scale from 7 figures to 8 figures to 9 figures. And the secret is repeat purchases. The Wavebreak Method gets rid of one-time buyers and increases repeat orders. Number three, it keeps your email list engaged. You don't have to worry about Black Friday and beyond. We'll figure out the ideal amount of times that your list needs to be contacted to maximize revenue, and then we'll execute it for you. If you want to learn more about this system and how we can work together to apply it to your business, go to wavebreak.co to schedule a call with me. And I'll personally send you my calendar link and we can chat one-on-one. Now, I don't have unlimited time to do these calls. I can only do a couple of them per week. So if you want to get your call, go sign up at wavebreak.co for it as soon as possible. And we can talk about how we can work together. Thanks for listening to this episode. Subscribe to the show on iTunes to get notified of new episodes as soon as they drop.